Okay, so let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for another week to be able to come together as your family, to be able to join together in corporate worship, call on your name. We pray, dear God, that especially in these times where our Christian worldview that we used to generally have in this country is being turned upside down, that you would guide us through your word and give us the courage to follow your word, especially in this wicked generation in this nation right now. We ask you, Lord, for this strength, that we would only glorify the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay. The title of today's sermon is, It's the Blood, Stupid. And that's not to insult anyone. That's a take on something that was said during a presidential campaign where they were wondering what would be the talking point, what would be the key issue that people cared about. And it was brilliant because the person who was helping manage this presidential campaign told the president and told the constituents for the party, it's the economy, stupid. That's really all people care about. So if you want to win an election in this country nowadays, they really don't care anymore if you kill children, if you kill older people, how many wars you fought. Is the economy functioning at home? Do Americans have enough money for their entertainment? If I have enough money for the casinos, for the pornography, for the strip clubs, for the rock concerts, the hip-hop concerts, to go see my favorite sports team, to have my six girlfriends without getting married, or my seven, eight boyfriends without getting married. If I have enough money for that, I don't care what you do. You can bomb wherever you want. You can do whatever you want to any of the laws in this country. Just make sure I have enough money in my pocket for sin and entertainment. And what we're going to show today is everything for the Christian. All the trouble that you will go through in this world if you really believe. The only thing that you can rely on is the blood of Christ. And that's why we're saying today, through all these tribulations, through the different confusion of worldviews that you'll encounter, where you, all the things, like we said, your parents taught you and your grandparents taught you, all of a sudden just out the window. All of a sudden this generation is smarter than 1,000 generations that has gone before it, so they can redefine when someone is really a human being. They can redefine who can get married. They can redefine sound economic principles. It always comes back to the blood. Don't forget the blood. If you are covered in the blood of Jesus, if you know the story of the cross, and you truly understand the real message of the gospel, no matter how crazy things get, you'll stand. And there will be a lot of people that we thought were faithful that will get caught up in this worldview change, in this upside down view of the world, where God is now out the window. And once again, the serpent is sitting where he doesn't belong. That's where we're at today. So we're going through the book of Corinthians again. This is part 8. We're beginning chapter 2. We'll be working through verses 1 through 5. And once again, you'll see in these books, in these epistles, it is God speaking through the apostles. And the same message is repeated over and over again in different ways so you can get it. And the number one message is Jesus Christ is King. He is the one that brought us this beautiful covenant that we have. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus, you have nothing. You are dead in your sins. And we're going to show this today. Now, if you want to get an understanding of how ideas have consequences, how the Bible still applies today, I'm going to read you a couple of articles and then begin the sermon. The first article is, we have Joe Lahoda, New York City mayoral hopeful, and what happened was, It's a short article. There were a couple of kittens that got onto the tracks in New York. And they basically shut down the largest subway service in the world to rescue kittens. Now, this was a problem. A former chairman of the Metropolitan Transit Authority and New York City mayoral hopeful says he wouldn't have stopped the subway because two lost kittens were scrambling along the tracks. A spokesman for Joe Loda, I pronounced it wrong, tells the New York Post, Friday the candidate, told New York Post Friday, the candidate doesn't think shutting down subway service for lost cats is appropriate. But he said Loda believes it wouldn't be the mayor's decision in any case. On Thursday, the MTA cut power on two Brooklyn subway lines for more than an hour as the two pets scurried around the tracks. The furry felines were finally rescued about 7 hours later. Officials say kittens Arthur and August are being treated in a shelter. Other mayoral hopefuls tell the paper they would have stopped the trains. Now, this is from the Huffington Post. We had a major article in the Daily News and the New York Post. Now, this gentleman is catching a lot of flack because of what he said, that he wouldn't have shut down the subway system for these two precious kittens that had to be rescued. Now, I have no problem with this. As Christians, we have no problem with this. If you could save a couple of cats, you call your boss. If he's any type of boss, he'll laugh, think you're lying, and then he'll read the news report later that you were late to work because the train was delayed because of a couple of kittens. Okay, we have no problem with this. This is what we have a problem with. Now, before I read this, I am not a Democrat, I am not a Republican, I am a Christian. I believe that God is true and every man is a liar.
Amen.
So I don't put much stock in either party. I am not pushing a political agenda. There are problems with every party in this nation. But this happened to be the Iowa Democratic Party. So remember now, this mayoral hopeful is catching flack because he wouldn't have stopped the trains for a couple of kittens. But this is the Iowa, an Iowa Democrat prayer thanking God for abortionists. Now, this was a meeting that they had in Des Moines, in Iowa. And I'll just read some of the article. Now, this appeared on Hot Air. This is by Ed Morrissey. This is a site on the internet. And he writes, hey, this could be progress. About time last year, a Democratic National Convention booed when the platform committee tried to backtrack and add a mention of God that had been earlier removed. In Iowa, at least, Democrats have gone back to openly praying, but perhaps they should be hoping that God isn't listening. They made the unusual decision for Democrats to begin the event with a prayer. This was likely in response to a prayer vigil being conducted by pro-life activists at the same time nearby. Des Moines activist Midge Slater, some lady, took the podium and spent 5.5 minutes thanking God for abortion rights, abortion doctors, and taxpayer funding for abortions. She also referred to the decision to have an abortion as a blessing. During the entire prayer, State Senator Jack Hatch and Representative Tyler Olson, both of whom were running for governor, kept their heads bowed and eyes closed, joining in the group prayer. The Iowa Republican transcribed a bit of the prayer, which goes on for quite a while. Quote, we give thanks, O Lord, for the doctors, both current and future, who provide quality abortion care. We pray for increased financial support for low-income women to access contraception, abortion, and child care, a.k.a. kill the black babies, kill the Hispanic babies. They're not worth having around. Quote, today we pray for women in developing nations that may know that they may know the power of self-determination. May they have access to employment, education, birth control, and abortion. Once again, in code, kill Africa off, kill the Middle East off, whatever we don't feel comfortable with. Today we pray for the families who have chosen. May they know the blessing of choice. Here's my favorite party rights, very obviously aimed at the pro-life demonstrators. We pray for women who have been made afraid by their paternalistic religion. In other words, Christianity. So, this is how stupid we are as we've been saying week after week, we think we're so smart, will shut down the train station for two kittens, but will spend hundreds of billions of dollars to kill children. And we swear we know what we're talking about, and we swear we know better than the Word of God. How long, people of God, are you going to listen to so-called experts and therapists and specialty doctors and philosophers and other morons like Richard Dawkins and Stephen Hawking? How long are we going to listen to these people? They are cheapening life. The worldview in this country has been turned upside down. We'll get on a guy because he didn't want to rescue kittens, but we'll send billions of dollars to these pigs that are pushing child murder. You tell me the Bible isn't coming alive. You tell me in this day you can't read Romans chapter 1 and become very afraid for this nation. This is the Bible come alive. God has taken the wisdom of men and He's given them what they wanted. He's left them alone with their reprobate minds. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. There was a time when I was a little younger, it seemed like things weren't going so badly. I could actually read my Bible, yawn a little bit. It was interesting. Now I am petrified. When I read this book, I am petrified. Not of them, but of Him. When He starts to act. So that's what it's all about. Kill the babies. Especially those minority babies, because they're not any good anyway. They just suck money off of welfare. We got to get rid of them, right? But save the kittens. Save the kittens. And everybody's celebrating because we supposedly elected a minority president, but it was just a sham. They are still killing people, and they pick on certain groups. And the number one killer for African Americans, even if Al Sharpton won't say it, this white boy will say it, is abortion. They're killing a whole generation of African American people through abortion. Should be packed next week. How's that for an introduction? So, point number one in the sermon. The power of the gospel is the message itself, not the ability of the person. Not the ability of the person. Be very careful of the showman, of the guy with lots of money behind them. It doesn't mean they're necessarily preaching the truth. The power is in the gospel. So starting at chapter 2, we're on page 541. Here we go. Chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 to get our context for today. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
That is the message. That's actually the message of the entire Bible, and that's pretty much all the seminary a preacher needs. Bring the Word of God. Don't bring your own words. Don't bring the fancy things of the culture that you think is going to attract people. Preach the Word. So 1 Corinthians verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now what is the testimony of God? Well, let's turn back to the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 17.
Page 97.
Now this is God speaking. This is not me speaking. It's not you speaking. This is right from the Word. We're going to get an essence for what this is. The power is the message, not the person. There's something about the blood. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 16. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. Why? For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now, what in the world is trying to be conveyed here? Well, it's very simple. We love our New Testament, but we understand as the New Testament was being written, all they had to read was the Old Testament. They're one book, Old Testament and New Testament. This text says everything. The power is in Jesus Christ. The power is in His blood. Amen. God wanted blood to be an atonement. And it has nothing, your salvation, your atonement has nothing to do with you, nothing to do with me, nothing to do with the government, nothing to do with the churches. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And His mission of going to the cross and shedding His blood as a remission of sins. And this was to be ingrained in the minds of the people. The blood is something separate from you. Don't you dare eat it or make yourself unclean with it. You got that? The same way in the New Testament. The work is of my Son. Don't you dare try and make like you participated in that work of salvation. Because you didn't. And this is what every religion besides biblical Christianity is teaching. Somehow, you're going to team up with the Messiah and save yourself. And that's what the religion of the Antichrist is going to be. That somehow you'll be a type of God that can save yourself. And the Bible tells us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God sets the agenda. He set the way for salvation. It has nothing to do with you. It's by the blood.
Amen.
You are to remain separate from that blood. It's to be used in a prescribed way. Don't you get in the way of the blood of my Son. That's the message from God. So that's what these old sacrifices were embodying. The coming of Messiah. So the power of the gospel is in the message itself, not the ability of the person. The covering is in the gospel. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Stay out of the way. Just give the message and do what God said, and you see mountains be moved. It doesn't take special skill on our part. This is what Paul is saying. Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined, this is Paul speaking, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the key to all knowledge. That's the key to salvation. Knowing Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the living covenant between God and mankind. The blood of Jesus covers the door of our life and saves us from destruction. How can I say something like that? Because it's in the Bible. Turn to Exodus chapter 12.
Let's be
Let's go to that Old Testament again. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Burn up the whole thing. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods or demons of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, not you, not your pastor, not your religious system, not your money, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It's the blood. That's all God cared about, was the blood. Because he was teaching you, all he would care about in the future would be Messiah, Jesus. That's it.
Amen.
It's not you. He could care less about you, your position in society, your wealth, your health. He doesn't care. It's about glorifying his son. His son saves us. We don't save God. We don't participate in any way. We don't save ourselves. That's why no one can brag. This morning, if you have $1 million in your bank account, or if you're minus $100 in your bank account, you're still saved through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how smart you are. You got an IQ of 114 or 14 where you can barely tie your shoes. God doesn't care. Repent. Have belief in his son. Turn from your sins. Understand what Jesus did for you, and you have salvation. I'm telling you, you don't even need an iPad for this. I'm not kidding. Now, we want to show something to make it very clear. This is a door. Now, before the Passover, how are you going to get God's vengeance to pass over your house? This was a serious thing. For example, in my home, on this night, I would die for being the firstborn. My wife would be killed because she was the firstborn, and my son would die. Can you imagine the devastation in that country? What would happen in that nation? This was serious business. People really didn't feel like dying. Now, did they have to do something special? Did they have to come up with a special answer? All they had to do was have faith and obey. Sound familiar? That was it. It was all about the blood. So what did you do? You didn't just throw blood wherever you wanted. You threw it where God prescribed it to be placed.
Yeah.
You didn't do this a little dab. You sloshed it on there. You struck the lintel of the doorpost. So what would happen? Well, if you splashed blood on the top of the door, the way it was prescribed, right? And we got some starting to flow down. Right? And if you splash blood on this side of the door, of the post, right, maybe splatter it this way, so it'll come down here. And if you splash blood on this side, really splashed it, really struck it the way it was prescribed, but you don't strike it on the bottom, you start to see something? Is it far-fetched to say that eventually you might have a cross of blood on your door?
Amen. Amen.
That's all God sees, is the covering of His Son. This is the message we bring. That's why they hate Christianity, they hate the Bible, because it frees people. A slave can save souls and go into glory, a king or a queen, royalty. With no money you can save souls. You can be homeless and lead a revival. I heard of a guy that did that once. His name was John the Baptist.
Amen.
That's all God sees. And it covers the door of your life. See, we want to participate some way. So we come up with religions where you need to study in a special way, or you need a special talent, or you have to be blessed in doing yoga or manipulating the chakra system, or you have to be like a Jew where you hit the right mitzvahs during the week and observing the law, and just magically the gates of heaven are going to open for you. Or like we try to teach our Catholic friends with these sacraments that you'll automatically get in. Or with our Protestant friends that have invented even worse things. Or with humanists. Do you understand? When you don't have this worldview, please listen, this is very important. When you don't have the worldview where Christ is King and He is the only way into heaven and none of us have a right to brag, you start to become conceited. You start to become arrogant. You start to become like the serpent. All of the Nazis, some of the smartest men that ever walked this planet, their average IQ was in the genius range, on average. And look what they did to this planet. It's not intelligence, it's not education, it's humbleness and running to the cross.
Amen.
And this is what Paul is conveying. This is what God is saying through Paul. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The whole message, the whole thing, everything that goes along with this. And we see the foreshadowing in the Old Testament. It's the blood. That's what makes judgment pass by your house. The power to save a man's soul from hell belongs to God alone. All the wisdom of the most powerful cultures on earth will not stand against the wisdom of the gospel. This is what Paul is telling us in verses 3 to 5. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, thank God, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If your wisdom stands in the power of men, you will be rescuing kittens from the train tracks and murdering children that you think are not worthy to live. God protects all of life. The Bible protects all of life. All people. There are differences among us. That's fine. God likes variety. But who are we to pick certain groups to kill? And so many times it is people from that group, that ethnic background, that have taken the money and leading their own people down the path to death. How dare we do that? Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to finish this off now. Verses 14 through 17.
Excuse me, what page is
that?
Page 5-3.
And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, no chametz. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That's how serious it was. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. There is no participation by you. That's the message. You did not bring Messiah from heaven. You did not participate with him in his offering. You do not have anything to do with the blood of Jesus except being covered by it. Just like God was teaching them in the Old Testament, don't eat the blood, don't touch the blood. They used it for the Passover to form that cross of blood upon their door that they would have their life, this sign. But they had nothing to do with it. They're not saving themselves. And God even throws in the same way they're going to be delivered from Egypt. Don't become arrogant and think it was you. And that's exactly what Christians have done. That's why Europe is dying. That's why the U.S., we held out for a while, but we're starting to die. That's why Australia, all these places that were birthed and begun by European peoples upon the gospel, Europeans are now disappearing. That's why that continent is left in shambles. Let no man call it a conspiracy. God is doing it. You're taking yourself down. You've turned your back on God, he's going to turn his back on you. And people are going to learn a tough lesson the same way the Israelites learned. God doesn't do things by race, he does it by grace. He's not impressed by your skin color, regardless of what group you are or what you've had in the past. If you are not faithful, you will be humbled and brought down. Nothing to do with us, everything to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done everything. So we have more economists today than we've ever had in the history of the world. We have more politicians today that are better educated with more years of schooling than we've ever had before. We have an internet which people worship as God. Hey, you need an answer? Don't open your Bible, Google it. Google it is the Mashiach. You got an answer, Google it. It'll fix your life. So we have all these things. Every ethnic group, regardless of who you are, has advantages that our parents and grandparents could only dream of. And look at where we are. A broken economy, a broken people. No one has the answer except Christ. Go back to the Bible. We're not just saying it. It's not just fancy language. You want to know how you thrive as a people? Stop killing your children. Stop killing your babies. When you get rid of people and you only have an aging population, there is no economy. There is no movement forward. Only backward. Where are the workers going to come from? Where are the new tax-paying slaves going to come from if we're killing everybody? And God tells us, more importantly, he doesn't just say be just multiply. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Which means those children you have, make sure you bring them up as Christians.
Amen.
Before you teach them how to play the piano, or hit a home run, or dunk a basketball, or sing, or rap, or play guitar, or become, fall in love with themselves, do something else you just want them to be great at, give them the gospel.
Amen.
Give them the message of the cross. Education will not save them. If you think education is going to save them, you're just like the pagans. It's education from the Bible that's going to save them.
Amen.
Even God is smashing that idea. How many people went into debt to get graduate degrees, doctorate degrees, PhDs, and now when I go with my family into Applebee's or something, that's who's waiting on us.
Amen.
The person with the PhD. That's what you get. God will take your wisdom and make it folly. When you run away from God's wisdom and His message of the cross, you'll be destroyed. All these things, we have people, simple things. I'm just giving you basic examples. Even in a trial, you have people swearing on Bibles they don't believe in. How can you even have something as simple as a fair trial if the person accused of the crime cares less about fearing God to tell the truth? The witnesses don't fear God. They can care less whether they tell the truth or not. The prosecutor doesn't care. The defense doesn't care. The judge is godless. How are you going to get a fair trial if everybody's lying? No justice, no peace. You're not going to get justice anyway. And you're not going to get peace because if there's no Jesus, there's no peace. And without Jesus, there's no justice. But that's how stupid we've become. We swear people into office on Bibles they don't believe in. We ask people to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God. And they're pagans, flaming pagans, they could care less. It might as well be Sports Illustrated that they're swearing on. That's them calling right now. They're coming to take me away. They just read the message. But this is the point. We have to be willing to stand up for the gospel and suffer for the gospel and do what Paul did. Paul lost. This is why the wealth and health and the modern message you're hearing makes no sense. If that message makes sense, Paul was an idiot. Paul lost his position amongst the Sanhedrin. Paul lost his position amongst his family. To go out with these dogs, these goyim, these pigs, these Gentiles. Don't worry about the way people look at you. Get out there with the gospel.
Amen.
It's going to cost you a little bit. But I'm telling you, and I'm going to say it week after week, do it now where it costs a little bit and we start to save people and change this country before it starts to cost you a lot because you didn't get out there. So let's remember that. So man's wisdom, shutting down the greatest city in the world to save kittens, and then murdering children by the millions. 50 million, that's just what we know about. Not including what's killed around the world today. So much for the fancy language and all the technology. God give us the courage. And God help us. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, we pray, Lord, that You would bless Your word. We pray, Lord, that we would get out there today, during the week, that we would be prophets for You by just speaking the simple word, by really knowing the gospel, knowing the story of the cross, knowing what Your Son did for us. We pray, dear God, You have mercy on us. You have mercy on our nation. You have mercy on our city, which is so much like Corinth. We pray, dear God, that people would be saved, that their souls would be saved from hell. We pray, dear God, that You continue to be with us and protect us as Your humble people who rely on You alone. We pray in Your name, Lord, that You would always protect us. Our great King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.